This is What's at Risk on WBZ News Radio 1030 and WBZ.com with Mike Christian of Risk Strategies Company.
Hi, I'm Mike Christian, and welcome to a special encore presentation of What's at Risk. We're interested in what you're thinking about. Send us an email at whatsatrisk@risk-strategies.com and let us know what's on your mind. Tonight on What's at Risk, we'll learn about the complex relationships between choice and freedom and why one doesn't go with the other. Sheena Iyengar, author of The Art of Choosing, will give us her insights on how we choose.
Well, the first days are the hardest days. Don't you worry anymore. 'Cause when life looks like easy street, there is danger at your door.
Then, in our second segment, dividend stock expert Charles Carlson, the author of The Little Book of Big Dividends, discusses a safe formula for guaranteed returns. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth.
You are now entering a world from which you will never return. You may choose to embrace it or fight it, but you cannot change it, nor can you go back. How you choose to feel will determine how you feel. Accept this willingly, and you will be enlightened. Fight it, and you be damned, but it is your choice to make. Your happiness is in your own mind.
Oh, to care the road you choose.
Human beings, Sheena Iyengar suggests, are born to choose. But human beings are also born to create meaning. Choice and meaning are intertwined. We use choice to define our identities, and our choices are determined by the meanings we give them, from advertising-driven associations to personal relationships and philosophical commitments. Some meanings we can articulate, while others remain beyond words. Science can assist us in becoming more skillful choosers, Iyengar cautions, but at its core, choice remains an art.
To care the road you choose.
Then took the other just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same.
To care the road you choose.
Store customer asks for the latest iPhone in black, but suddenly changes his preference to white when he sees the choices others are making. A resident of a former communist country is offered a fizzy drink from a wide selection, but picks at random. Soda, soda is soda, he says. Though the child knows she shouldn't press the big red button, absolutely not, she finds her hand inching slowly forward. A young man and woman decide to marry, knowing that the first time they meet will be on their wedding day. How did these people make their choices? How do any of us make our choices? Choice is a powerful tool to define ourselves and mold our lives. But what do we know about the wants, motivations, biases, and influences that aid or hinder our endeavors? And both that morning equally lay in leaves no feet had trodden black, Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. In The Art of Choosing, Columbia University professor Sheena Iyengar, a leading expert on choice, sets herself the Herculean task of helping us become better choosers. She asks fascinating questions. Is the desire for choice innate or created by culture? Why do we sometimes choose against our best interests? How much control do we really have over what we choose? Ultimately, she offers unexpected and profound answers, drawn from her award-winning, discipline-spanning research.
Made up my mind, I can't decide. Made up my mind, I can't decide. Made up my mind, I can't decide. Made up my mind.
Did you ever stand on the ledges on the brink of a great plateau and look from her jagged edges on the country that lay below? There where the vision meets no resistance and there's nothing to stop the gaze till the mountain peaks in the distance stand wrapped in a purple haze. There the things that you thought were strongest and the things that you thought were great and for which you'd striven for longest, they don't seem to carry very much weight. And when you're looking on this vision and your outlook's so clear and wide, I think that might be the time and place to stand there and decide. Because should you return to the city and mingle again with the throng, and your heart grow bitter from pity or maybe just strife and wrong, and others might laugh in derision or the voice of the past grow dim, just remember that cool decision you made that day on the rim.
Sheena Iyengar is the S.T. Lee Professor of Business at Columbia University and a recipient of the Presidential Early Career Award. She holds an undergraduate degree from Wharton School of Business and a doctorate in social psychology from Stanford University. Her work is regularly cited in periodicals such as the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, Fortune and Time magazines, and in books such as Blink and The Paradox of Choice. Sheena Iyengar, the author of The Art of Choosing. So it seems to me we ultimately build our lives around all the choices that we've made cumulatively. How do we first learn to choose?
That's a great question. I mean, we're all born with the desire for choice. It's something that we're innately wired with. But after that, once we're born and come into this world, we actually learn the practice of choosing from, you know, our parents, from the society in which we live.
So do you think it's instinctive at all in terms of choosing? We obviously do learn a lot from our parents, virtually everything from our parents, but is there some instinctive thing that leads us to how we choose?
Well, the instinctive part is that we want choice. So that if I take an infant, it's not even a month old, and you turn on some music, and in one case the music just comes on and off on its own, versus in the other case, they can, you know, touch something or kick something, and then that starts the music. But the kids vastly prefer the one where they get to push the button and it turns on the music. That's really thrilling for them.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do we perceive ourselves as having more control over our life if we have choices? Is there a link between?
We perceive ourselves as having more control over our lives if we believe we have choice. If we have choices that we have to choose from and we don't know what we want, then actually those choices can make us feel paralyzed. the choice is a really interesting thing.
So it's really more the perception that we have choices than the reality if we really have choices.
Well, the perception is really, really important to the power of choice. That really affects your health. It affects your life. I mean, it's very important that you believe you have choice. Now, once you get to that moment when you have to make a choice, it's a whole different kettle of fish as to how much that choice will enable you to actually get what you want.
How does culture affect how we choose? I believe as I was reading some background on you, you're not originally from the United States, so you come from a different culture. Did that have some impact on why you became interested in this, the differences between the culture that you grew up in and the culture that you now live in?
Yes, I grew up in this country, but I came from a Sikh home. So my parents were the ones who immigrated from India, and they were Sikhs. So I kept going back and forth between two different worlds. In my home life, I was being raised as a traditional Sikh, which meant that you always had to be aware of all your duties and responsibilities. And it was a whole different way of life. I mean, there were rules about just about every aspect of your life, from, you know, you can't ever cut your hair to you got to wear this steel bracelet on your right hand at all times, and you're never supposed to take off your underwear even when you take a shower, to, you know, your marriage is being arranged and your career is being strongly advised by your parents. So that was one world. The other world was when I went to school. So as an American in school, you were told, well, you get to choose everything about yourself. You get to, you're going to decide what you're going to eat and how you're going to do your hair and how you're going to dress. And my God, the idea that somebody else would decide whom you would marry, how horrific can you possibly get? So there were two different models for the way life should be lived, two different ideas about who should make the choice. And in particular, it was a very different notion of how much personal choice should be valued.
Sheena Iyengar is the psychologist responsible for the famous jam experiment. You may have heard about it. At a luxury food store in Menlo Park, California, researchers set up a table offering samples of jam. Sometimes there were 6 different flavors to choose from. At other times, there were 24. In both cases, popular flavors like strawberry were left out. Shoppers were more likely to stop by the table with more flavors. But after the taste test, those who chose from the smaller number were 10 times more likely to actually buy jam, 30% versus 3%. Having too many options, it seems, made it harder to settle on a single selection.
And I hope you like the jamming. I hope you like the jamming.
There are at least 2 interesting points to take away from this kind of research. Both of them good news for people involved in product design, sales, and marketing. First, the number and presentation of the options we are given can have an effect on what we choose and how satisfied we feel with our decision. Second, we go through life largely unaware that we are surrounded by manipulations of the choices we make.
That's the sound of the shadow death.
I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. 2 roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. We're here with Sheena Iyengar, the author of The Art of Choosing.
Now that you've spent most of your life here and you're more ensconced in our culture, do you feel like the Sikh upbringing that you had, how does that impact you today from, you know, the way you make choices? Or have you relearned it in a different way, in an American way now?
I go back and forth even now, and I think I've always been fascinated by the different models that people have for choice. In fact, I I keep going around the world and finding new models that people have for choice. And I think every model has its pros and cons. I think we can learn from every single one of them. I don't see why we have to only use one.
You mentioned Robert Frost's famous poem, The Road Not Taken, in your book. I took one less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. It seems to me that no matter what choice we make as humans, we seem to make it work, or we make an adjustment and we make another choice to go down another path. But do you think that's true in terms of the choices that you make in life? You choose to be this thing versus something else, and you know, you may have some regrets or some thoughts about not having done with what your other options were, you know, in the past, but you know, really kind of make work what you've chosen to do?
It depends on how you define make work. We all make choices. Sometimes those choices work out. Sometimes they don't work out. Sometimes we don't know whether they worked out or didn't work out and how they really affected us. In the end, whatever our choices are, they come to sum up who we are and where we're going to end up in life. But to argue that all our choices work out, I'm not so sure about that.
Can we relearn how we choose, the process in which we go through to choose?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about the temptation problem. I mean, we can learn to control our temptations. It's easier if you learn to control your temptations when you're young and develop good habits. But no matter what age you are, you can learn, you know, to not eat cake every day and save more for tomorrow. I mean, you think about the typical temptation problems. Absolutely, you can learn how to choose.
And so we get into these certain patterns of behavior that I assume just dictate how we choose. You know, it just becomes more of a habit than anything. How do we get out of those patterns of behavior? You know, we obviously have to make a choice to get out of that pattern of behavior, but how do you do that and then move on to making more effective choices or having a more effective process when you make a choice?
You mean like a temptation problem?
Maybe not a temptation, but just in terms of your inclinations, in terms of the people that you hang out with, or you know, the types of projects that you take on. Maybe you know that you're choosing things that overwhelm you or are just not appropriate for you at that point in time, but you can't break out of that behavior model that you've had your whole life.
Well, you have to first engage in that conscious thinking of, this is something that I don't want to have happening anymore. I don't want to do anymore. Once you come to that recognition, then you have to come up with a new set of, like a system, a set of rules, so that you won't have to think about it anymore. Because in order for you to actually act on better behavior, if you have to think about it every minute, you're actually not going to be able to do it. So you're going to have to come up with a set of rules that become hard and fast, that you cannot deviate from. So in a sense, you make yourself automatic. Don't give yourself freedom. Don't give yourself flexibility. And once you do that and start applying those rules or living by those rules, before long it becomes a habit.
Do you think when it comes to maybe just more of the mundane things in life, maybe even the more important things, that we have too many choices today?
Yes, we have way too many choices today, and people can't handle all the choices that they have.
And so if we have too many choices, then and they can't handle it, it's because, you know, there's either too many of them or we don't have enough information about each of the choices that we have to really make an effective decision on which way to go. What is your suggestion about that? Because we do live in this world where we're bombarded constantly by things.
So I mean, you think about just the typical grocery store. In 1949, the typical grocery store had 3,700 products in it. Today, the average grocery store has 45,000 products in it. The average Walmart has 100,000 products in it. So when you walk into that store, you've actually got that many choices. So you're bound to get overwhelmed. So how do we deal with the too much choice problem? Well, first off, you have to know what your priorities are. If you're going to try to stand and examine every single product in that store, you'll never get anywhere. So you have to know what's really, really, really important for me to invest the energy and figure out that I need the best of X. I don't know whether it be meat, salmon, whatever it is that's really important to you. The rest of the things, go for the generic, go for whatever is recommended. Come up with some simple rule of thumb and just follow it. Let it go if it's not that important, because you're not going to be able to do an effective job at choosing everything.
There are some roads I wish I'd traveled. There are some trains
I wish that I had broke. There are some bridges I wish I'd burned up. There are some women I wish I'd never.
We're here with Sheena Iyengar, the author of The Art of Choosing.
What role does intuition or inspiration play in making choices instead of just going through an analytical process? Does it have a place in making choice?
Oh, absolutely. Let's say you're debating between two job offers, and some of us are told, well, go with your gut. Well, yeah, your gut will tell you how you feel at the moment about each of those jobs, but it doesn't tell you how you feel about that, how you will feel about that job tomorrow or 10 years from now. If you go with analytics, that will tell you what the pros and cons are of each of those job offers as it relates to things that are very quantifiable, like how much money, job security, career path, that kind of thing. Now, in the case where both of those are aligned, you're good. Go with it. But lots of times, your gut's telling you one thing, the analytics are telling you another, what do? At that point, our tendency is to say, let me go take a long walk on the beach, keep reflecting, and eventually I'll be hit on the head and I'll know what is it that I'm really, really, really going to do or need to do. But instead, what we should really do is look outward. You know, what do other people who know us well think we would do better at? At each of these jobs, are people happy? And what are the characteristics of the people who are happy? I might think I'm different from those people, but really I'm not. If they're happy, I'm most likely also going to be happy.
What do you think? People often say this, you know, your first impression is the correct impression, and you end up talking yourself out of it, or you go through the analytical process or whatever. I guess that goes back to, you know, your gut feeling, but what do you think about that?
If you're asking yourself, is she hot? Your gut is extremely accurate. If you're asking yourself, should I marry her? The gut's complicated. Your gut can only answer the question, how do you feel right now? That's it.
Right.
And if the consequences are only going to be felt in terms of your feelings, then that's the only moment when your gut is really, really reliable.
Well, Sheena, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you so much for taking the time to read my book, and I hope you find it interesting.
Yeah, my pleasure. I did for sure. How can the listeners find out more about it?
If you Google my name, you'll get everything you need to know about it.
Okay.
I'm Sheena Iyengar, Iyengar, and the book is called The Art of Choosing.
My first love was a wicked, twisted road. Hit the million-mile mark at 17 years old. I never saw the rainbow, much less a pot of gold. Yeah, my first love was a wicked, twisted road.
Time for a CBS News update. We'll be right back with more What's at Risk.